Okay, welcome back. It's another great day, and we are in this amazing study through Acts together. My name is Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, where we love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. That's what the study is all about. We are in Acts chapter 1. This is lesson 2, and it's day 3 of this lesson. I'm so glad that you're with me today, and if you're with a friend, turn to your friend next to you and say, I'm so glad you're with me today, too. I wish I could reach through the screen and hug you all and just be physically together. But look, we've got great technology, and what a blessing it is to be able to be with each other in this way. So let's go ahead and give this time to God. Just take a deep breath. We've got a lot on our mind today. There are so many things that we could be doing right now that are good things even. And we've chosen to be in this moment, in this place, with God's word, with one another, together. So let's just cover this place right now, right? Let's just pray a covering over each other right now. Pray for me as we bow our heads in a moment. I'm praying for you, and let's go to God and ask his blessing as we are faithful in studying his word, and he has promised he will be faithful to bless us for this time together. So let's join hands right now and get into the word together. Heavenly Father, we come before you now knowing that we need you more than ever. There is a lot going on in our life right now, and we need your word. We need the reminders of your faithfulness. As we go into our time together right now, I ask that you would bless those listening to my voice and in the word right now, God, that you would create in us a growing love and passion, just a thirst to be in your word together. And bless our time, that it will be glorifying to you and encouraging to one another as well. We just give it all now into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Whether you are listening on the podcast, on YouTube, watching on Facebook, wherever you are, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button on the podcast. Hit it over on YouTube and follow us on Facebook and leave a comment. Don't forget to say hi, that you're listening. It's very encouraging to me, and it helps to develop this community. Some of you are still skulking in the background and never drop in and say hi. Who are you? Say hi. Let me know you're out there. It's just a great way to be in community together. Feel free to ask questions, leave comments. Let me know what your aha moments are in this study. And let's just be faithful together as a community in this Dwelling Richly Bible Study. All right. I'm going to switch over to a screen where you can see the lesson. And ta-da, there we go. We are in lesson 2 again. This is day 3. And as always, we begin with prayer and then jump right into the scripture we're memorizing. How are you doing on your scripture memory verse? It's Acts 1:8. You ready? Can you say it? Can you do it all by yourself yet? If you're sitting with a friend, can you guys close your eyes and remember it? I'm going to say it out loud. You guys try to say it from memory if you can. Here we go. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, I don't know about you. Oh, Acts 1:8. I always say it at the beginning and always say it at the end. It helps us to get in our head. But I don't know about you, but if I've memorized a verse from when I was a kid in a different translation, and I'm memorizing it this time around through the ESV, sometimes the words get a little jumbled in my brain. All right, memorize that word, write it in this box here. See, I'll show you. If you click on it, if you just open it up and click, watch, Acts 1:8. I'm just going to copy and paste just so you receive, but you receive power. All right, so there, look at this. You will receive power. Isn't that great? So you can just type it, and then you can print it. You can do whatever you want with it. You can just continue to work on it in that fashion. And I just wanted you to see that it's another way we can use technology here together. All right. We memorize the word, then we write, and then we read, and then we think, and we reflect. So our Write the Word pages are a continuing of Peter's sermon that we began writing in lesson 1. We're doing one or two verses a day, and we'll be done with that sermon at the end of this lesson. And that is from Acts 2. And it's today's two verses that I would like you to write are verses 32 and 33. So let me read them to you. Then Jesus, God raised up and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted as the right at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. This is Peter's powerful sermon, which, well, I should get to this part later on in lesson two. So go to the Write the Word page. It's at the back of this lesson packet, and continue writing. Remember, if you write all of this, you will have all of Peter's sermon written by the end of this lesson, if you did it from lesson one also. All right. Then we read. Okay, so today's reading focus is Acts chapter 1, and we're reading just verses 4 and 5. Two verses today. Two verses. That's it. All right, here we go. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. On to our lesson. What does Jesus command or order his disciples to do? And why? He says, don't depart. Why? Wait for the promise. Wait for the promise of the Father. You're going, there's a promise coming. Wait. Stay here. Stay in Jerusalem. Very simple. Tells them right there, right at the beginning. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you are going to be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days from now. All right. So how did Luke word this command in Luke 24, the last chapter of Luke, verse 49? Well, let's take a look. Luke 24, verse 49. He writes, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Slightly different way of saying it, but we get the idea. Luke is trying to wrap his brain and his words around what happened and express it as carefully as he can and as accurately as we know Luke tried to do. And so he says it slightly differently in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, communicating the exact same intent. So consider the last time Jesus asked the disciples to do something. How did that turn out? It says to him here, wait in Jerusalem. Big stuff is coming. The Holy Spirit's coming. The last time Jesus asked them to do something, let's find out what happens in Luke 22, 39 through 46. Jesus prays on the Mount of Olives, and he says, he came out and he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Whoops. Just popped a screen up, I can't see. And he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them praying like he had commanded them to do. Stay awake? Nope. He found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Oh, so he asks them to stay awake and pray, but they fall asleep instead. All right, so back to our page here. What would you say explains the change? What's the willingness to obey at this time? Here's a personal opinion thought. Discuss it, pause, discuss it with your friend if you're doing your Bible study with a friend right now, or just think about it. What changed? Happened that turns them into sleepyheads who can't even stay awake to pray, to people who are willing to obey God's word and do exactly what he says to do. What happens? Drop your answer in the comments, take a picture of it, post it, share it. Let's hear it. What do you think? What is their willingness to obey? Why the willingness to obey this time? All right, pause and write that down. Now, question number three. This is going to be three passages. We had a really short passage this time, you know, two verses, and I really want to, there's so much into it. We're going to unpack it all and look at some of the context and the history behind everything that's happening in this two-verse little passage. So let's take a look at Matthew 3, Joel 2, and Ezekiel 36. actually, let me go back to the question so we can think about it as we're reading. This is history, God's great story in the making. Joel was written about 900 years, Ezekiel about 600 years before this moment. They both record God's word speaking of a time to come. And now in Acts chapter 1, it is not many days from now. What prophecy is about to come true? Let's take a look. Get my mouse to work here so I can click over. Matthew 3:1. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. Those whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, I'm jumping in on a little teeny tiny verse, and I am making an assumption here that you understand the context of this verse. If you do not, if you don't know who I is, the very first word, who's speaking, who's I, you need to look that up. You need to go back to the beginning of chapter 3 and get a context for it. And then who's he who is coming and all that. I'm making an assumption by giving you one slice of a verse. And if you don't know what it means, open it up, get your Bible out, not just here, but look it all up and understand it. I'll just tell you right now, this is John the Baptist speaking. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. All right, so he's talking about his cousin, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And he's going to do what? He's going to baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. All right, let's rewind, go back in time to Joel's day and read the prophecy that God gave for Joel to speak. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female servants. In those days, I will pour out my spirit. This should sound familiar. Why? Because we read it. We've read it twice now. We've read it when we did lesson one, when we read the entire book of Acts, and then we read it at the beginning of this lesson again. We read all of chapter one and most of chapter two because Peter quotes this verbatim from scripture. Now let's read Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Wow. Ezekiel, Joel, and the final and the greatest prophet, according to Jesus, John the Baptist, 900 years ago, 600 years ago, and about 30-ish years. No, maybe not 30. I guess it wouldn't have been when he was born. I would say about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago from this moment, John the Baptist prophesied. All right. So this moment is now, according to Luke, not many days from now. All right. He's recorded, right? So what prophecy is about to come true? That God is going to give his spirit to all. Right? It's going to come out in this big moment in this room, but his spirit is available now to all. It's the fulfillment of the Great Commission, and because the spirit is going to indwell and empower his disciples so his disciples can carry it forward, the seeds of the gospel, because of the power of the Holy Spirit. All right. So who was John? Who was John who baptized with water? Use your concordance, an online source, or the references provided below, and write down five facts about John the Baptizer. You might call him John the Baptist, but Baptist has come to mean a denomination, and so I actually prefer to just refer to him as John, Jesus' cousin, or John the one who baptized. For short, John the Baptizer. So here we go. Let me go ahead and copy and paste and drop. I think I kept these links clickable in this format. Yeah. Let's do this. Lots of ways to do this, folks. But go up to your scripture. Bible Gateway, again, fabulous resource. Go ahead up to it. And all you do is copy and paste the scriptures, drop it in. And there you've got a ton of resources to tell you about who this guy John the Baptist was. So for starters, he said, I am a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. So John's saying, I'm that guy. I'm the one crying out in the wilderness. I'm the one who's making way straight the way. And then we have in Luke 1, and behold your relative Elizabeth. And again, if what I'm reading to you here is out of context and you're like, I don't know who's talking, I'm not familiar with this, no problem. Just expand it all. You can click this button right here and view full chapter. Pretty cool, right? And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So John the Baptist is the son of Elizabeth, who is Mary's cousin. And so it is John is Jesus' cousin, once removed, or whatever that is. And I was never very good at that. But anyway, they're cousins, Jesus and John the Baptist. Matthew 3:4. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. There's just an interesting factoid about John the Baptist, what he ate and what he wore. And then Matthew 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he consented. So John baptizes Jesus, right? And then we have Luke 7:28, recording of Jesus' words. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So Jesus himself elevates John the Baptist to this status and calls him the greatest prophet. All right. So that wraps up our lesson for today. Short and sweet. I hope that was simple enough for you to get through. I think you're finding these lessons to go pretty quickly, but I hope they are deep enough for you to grasp what we're learning. And also I want to leave elbow room and space for you to do your own digging. If you prefer a longer, deeper study, dig, go more. See the references and the footnotes and try to learn more as you go through. And then of course I'll be teaching through this in a couple of weeks, just in a few days now. And you'll be able to learn some more then. It's just all about learning and understanding more as you go. So I hope you're enjoying doing that. Don't forget to leave a comment. Let me know that you've been here listening with a friend. Tell me who you're listening with today, where you're listening from. And let me know what you're enjoying about the study so far. I'd love to hear from you. As always, until we meet again, know that you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.